You are Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast on the Houston Rockets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Everyone, to Locked On Rockets, your home for daily and post-game podcast commentary on your Houston Rockets. I'm your host, Ben Dubose, Rockets correspondent with Sports Talk 790, the official flagship station of the team. As we chat this Thursday evening, we got the unfortunate news that many of us were suspecting heading into the day. Certainly not the worst scenario, but no Chris Paul for tomorrow night against the Clippers. Mike D'Antoni spoke to media at practice today, admitted that it's a day-to-day injury, but it's the sore adductor that he was initially diagnosed with after last night's game. He's out for at least tomorrow. Clint Capela, doubtful with the same heel contusion that's cost him two of the past three games. And Luke Bamute, where there hasn't been a setback, his original timetable was to miss 2 to 3 weeks. We're now only 1 week into that process, so it looks like it'll still be a couple more weeks for Bamute as well. So heading into tomorrow night's game, at most, the Rockets have a seven-man rotation. That's if you count Tarik Black, which I'm not really ready to do, given that he's played single-digit minutes most of this season, if that. Really, the Rockets have a six-and-a-half-man rotation, and so that's dramatically different than just missing Clint Capela for a day or two or the week or so without Luke Bamute. When you lose all three of those guys at the same time, to me, just raising the minutes for a couple of those guys is not really feasible. I don't think Mike D'Antoni wants to do it, and beyond that, I just don't think math-wise you can even make it work with just six guys. So I do think you're going to see some new changes to the Rockets' rotation for tomorrow night's game against the Clippers. We're going to talk about that momentarily, but for now, I do want to start off by acknowledging our awesome friends and sponsors over at MyBookie, because without their support, we would not be able to bring this show to you as frequently as we do, the only daily podcast covering the Houston Rockets. And well, with the holidays coming up, I know a lot of us have time off work, and that means that, for me at least, there's more time to watch sports. There's lots of great basketball games going on, certainly the Rockets, a great Christmas Day schedule for the NBA. There's also a ton of meaningful NFL games, and there's an entire college football bowl season coming up. And if you want to get in the action on any of those sports, then folks, I strongly encourage you to use my friends over at mybookie.ag. Because where you bet, that's just as important as who you're betting on. If you want to make money betting on the bowl games, the NBA's Christmas Day slate, the NFL the last couple weeks and heading into the playoffs, you got to go to mybookie.ag. They're the only site I recommend, and I fully trust them. But folks, you don't have to take my word for it. Check them out yourself. They've got odds on every matchup, and they've also got really great live betting props on all sorts of games across pro football, college football, the NBA. You want it, they've got it. MyBookie is your hookup for all your betting needs, and you can even deposit using Bitcoin. Now, what you really need to do, what you really need to take out of this, remember that Locked On NBA promo code. Because if you join now and use that Locked On NBA promo, MyBookie will match your deposit with up to a 50% bonus. It's as simple as visiting mybookie.ag, and from there, folks, you play, you win, and you get paid. So if you're going to bet on any of these games, the only place to do it is at MyBookie. Again, that's mybookie.ag. So as far as what we learned today, I wouldn't say I feel any better or worse than I did when we talked last night with the post-game show. It's largely expected. I did not, from what we saw from Chris Paul, expect this adductor strain to be a particularly debilitating one, not like when Nene tore his in the playoffs, game four against the Spurs, and this was looked at as a weeks-to-months injury. I believe he actually had a surgical procedure on that. You could tell by Chris Paul's expression, by his walk off the court, he caught it before it went bad. It was more a sense of frustration rather than a sense of pain. And Mike D'Antoni confirmed that in practice today, saying that Chris Paul pulled himself out effectively. And give Chris credit for that. It's very easy to play through things in today's culture of the NBA, especially when you have a 14-game winning streak the way the Rockets did. But Chris Paul, at age 32, he knows what matters is the playoffs. And so props to him, even with the Rockets trying to grind out their way to a 15th straight win, he would rather take the long view and miss a game or two in the short term if it means not suffering an injury that could decrease the Rockets' odds by the time they get to April or May. So I think that shows a lot of maturity from Chris Paul. I think you would largely expect that from him, being an elite player as cerebral as there is, clearly top 10 in the league, and a big part of that is how smart he is. So props to Chris for being in front of the curve on this. I think he probably played with it a few days. You know, there's lots of nagging injuries like that that NBA players suffer throughout a season. It's just a matter of when you can feel like it's not necessarily getting worse, but at a point where you're particularly vulnerable. And I think Chris, even if he kind of dealt with a nagging pain for a while, I think last night was where he could tell that it was on the verge of becoming a larger issue. And so rather than let it, he stopped himself, and now it's a day-to-day issue rather than a week-to-week one. In theory, Chris could come back on Christmas night against the Oklahoma City Thunder, nationally televised game. I'm sure the NBA would love that. And it's entirely possible, because the good news, this is a situation. The Rockets only have one game in the next 6 days following tomorrow night's homestand finale. They have 2 days off before the Christmas night game, and then they have two more days off before they play in Boston next Thursday night, a nationally televised game on TNT. So I guess the downside to this, after you finish with the Clippers, the schedule gets a lot tougher with the Thunder, the Celtics, and the Wizards next week all on the road. The upside is you do have more space between games. Now, the Celtics and Wizards, by the time you get to next weekend, that is a back-to-back. But over the next 6 days, there's not going to be that much basketball. So that gives you an opportunity with these injuries. If you give Chris Paul tomorrow night off, which they are, not only are you giving him 1 day off, you're essentially giving him at least 4 days off, because he had Thursday off while he was at practice. He wasn't an active participant. And then you also have Saturday and Sunday that he would not have to participate. So conceivably, you could bring him back Monday night, Christmas night in Oklahoma City, and he would have almost 5 full days of rest. Or you could bring him back next Thursday to get him a full week of rest, more than a week, actually, since he left in the fourth quarter of Wednesday this week. So I think that's part of the calculus for the Rockets is, If there were games on a regular basis, you might see them look at bringing a guy back a little sooner, saying what's really going to be the difference. But now that your schedule is starting to space out, there's an opportunity to take the longer view, which certainly you should with a player as important as Chris Paul. And I think they're doing the same thing with Clint Capela, not ruling him out, but called doubtful. I think with Clint, what's interesting about his injury, I don't think a bruised heel is anything particularly concerning. Now, feet with big men are always a sensitive issue, but this is a bruise. This is nothing structural, so I don't think you're worried about a fracture or anything of that nature. But I think where the concern is with Clint is that they cleared him to play on Monday against the Jazz, and then he had to miss another game with the same injury. So clearly he tried to play through it. It did not respond exactly how he had hoped. So I think that's why you're seeing a longer view with that as well. And it's a delicate balance for the Rockets, because certainly you want to win the number one seed. They're still up by a game in the loss column with the tiebreaker on the Warriors. It's a big deal. That gives you the best chances against the Warriors in the playoffs. As I've said in the past, to me, that can make a difference between having, you know, a 15-20% chance versus having, you know, a 40% chance, a very legitimate shot if you can get game one, game two, game five, and game seven of that hypothetical best of seven in Houston. So the Rockets are trying to walk a delicate line between giving themselves the best chance to get home court advantage without losing their chances of having this roster that we've seen be so brilliant through this 25-5 start to the year through the first 30 games, including that 14-game win streak. You want to make sure that lineup is fully humming and clicking by the time they get to April and May, and that starts with being as healthy and as close to 100% as you possibly can be. So I think with both Chris and Clint, those are probably your second and third most important players. So the Rockets are certainly going to be delicate with them. Also, another benefit to it, besides the days off, the Rockets play the Clippers tomorrow night. Look, let's be real. The Rockets are going to have some new players in the rotation. I'm aware of that. But the Rockets, they'll have James Harden out there, and the Clippers are going to be without Blake Griffin, without Danilo Gallinari, and without Pat Beverley. Look, you can put James Harden, Trevor Ariza, Nene, PJ, Ryan, and then a random bunch of G Leaguers, and I would still pick the Rockets to win that game, as would most people, and the game is in Houston. Now, I'm not saying they can't lose, because certainly anybody can beat anybody in this league. The Lakers just beat the Rockets in Houston. They took the Warriors to overtime two nights before that. I'm not saying it's an easy game, but in terms of looking at it, you know, this is an opportunity that I don't think the Rockets see it as necessarily being that prohibitive to the chase to the number one seed, because this is a game at home with James Harden looking more explosive and healthy than he's been in at least a couple of weeks, then I think the Rockets see this as a golden opportunity to kind of steal a win while letting these two heal up. And then the schedule, of course, gets tougher next week, the Thunder, Celtics, and Wizards all on the road. And then at that point, that's when you may have the opportunity to get reinforcements in the form of at least Chris and Clint. Sounds like Luke might be around the start of the new year. I think my guess is by their priority for Luke, I think they want him back by Thursday, January 4th. That's that first Warriors game, because I think Luke's defensive versatility is particularly important for that matchup. You want his length to be on Durant and Draymond for certain stretches in that game, Clay as well. And in addition to that, as I've said, the Rockets, I know it's two regular season games, but getting one of those two against the Warriors in January is crucial, because when you only play the Warriors three times and you already have one win in your back pocket, all the Rockets need is one more, and they have that tiebreaker. It's done. So I do think they're going to treat those two games against the Warriors very seriously. The first one is 2 weeks from tonight, and I think the priority is to have Luke back by then and make sure he's humming, because those are bigger than 1-82, and not just from an emotional standpoint, from just a practical standpoint as well. You want that win over the Warriors, because that's going to give you, that can turn a one-game lead into a two-game lead if you secure that tiebreaker, and that gives you a lot of breathing room in a race that's probably not going to have a lot of losses for either side. So that's why I think with the Rockets, it's an opportunity tomorrow night. It's not going to be easy, but certainly the Rockets, even with a shortened rotation and without Chris and Clint, the Rockets are still at home, and with James Harden, it's just a much better team than the Clippers minus Blake, Danilo, and Pat Beverly. Now, keep in mind, the Clippers aren't going to, it's not going to be easy, because just as Corey Brewer, you could see he played with a certain intensity that he rarely plays with on Wednesday night. You know, the Clippers have all the ex-Rockets that were in the Chris Paul trade. Pat Beverly won't be playing. I'm sure he'll be courtside. They've got a tribute video the Rockets do planned for him. But then you look off the bench, Lou Williams, Sam Decker, Montrezl Harrell, you better believe all of those guys are going to be playing with a chip on their shoulder, looking for ways to show Houston fans what they're missing out on. So the Rockets, they need to match the intensity, but at least from a talent perspective, folks, James Harden, Trevor Ariza, Nene, PJ, when you have accomplished veterans like that and you're going up against a team that's starting the likes of Austin Rivers and CJ Williams, folks, this is a game the Rockets should win. And so I think that's why the Rockets are being a little bit conservative with the injuries in this case. And then you get two more days off after that. I think there's a decent shot that at least Clint is backed by Christmas night in Oklahoma City. I think that'll also be a good measuring stick game for Clint if he goes up against Steven Adams, and we see just how much Clint has taken a step forward in terms of his toughness, both physically and mentally, relative to the playoffs in Oklahoma City, when those games up north, certainly north of the border, I should say, seemed to throw off Clint. He didn't really get it rolling in that series other than game one and then game five, the closeout in Houston. I think Clint, he'll be back by Christmas is my guess. Chris could be, but I think it's the epitome of a day-to-day. They're going to see exactly how this responds. As Mike D'Antoni said today, they dodged the worst. This could have been a lot worse, but give Chris credit for pulling himself out before it got to a point where, you know, a minor, you know, nagging pull turned into a tear of the muscle of something more significant. So props to Chris for his awareness, but even so, the Rockets are going to be very conservative with him. They realize his importance. Chris Paul is the difference between being at Warriors level and being where you were last year. That's when the Rockets were ultra conservative with the first injury, the bruised knee. I don't think this is anywhere near that significant, but at the same time, is he back within 5 days? He could be. It's just not a given. I would say, worst case though, I think the idea is that you can get him back in a week for that Boston-Washington back-to-back on the road, because, yeah, if you don't have Clint and Chris next week, that's going to be a tough three-game stretch on the road, even if you're at full strength. And so, certainly, with the depth issues that's been there lately, I think the Rockets are going to need to be particularly diligent about these next few days and disciplined in terms of their rest. And so, on paper at least, playing a 12-18 Clippers team that it really is not even as good as the record when you factor in the stars that led them to a lot of those 12 wins. This is a game that I think the Rockets feel pretty good about that they can hopefully steal before getting some of those guys back next week. Now that's sort of the long-term view. Excuse me, we're talking about next week when Chris and Clint are going to be back, and you know the hope is that whoever you throw out there, you're going to be able to steal that game tomorrow in Toyota Center, the closeout of the 7-game homestand. The other side to this is what's going to happen in the very, very short term to the rotation. I've seen some folks on Twitter saying, well, D'Antoni just go with a 6-man rotation or 7 and play Tarek 20, 24 minutes. No, as I said leading off, I think you're going to see a dramatically different rotation tomorrow. I think at least one new rotation member. I think it's likely to be a guard, someone out of the Bobby Brown, Briante Weber, Demetrius Jackson group, I think will step up. It depends on if they want more defensive versatility. That's where the athleticism of the younger guys, Jackson, Weber, comes in. Weber in particular seems to be pretty intriguing. I think the Rockets, they want to work on his jump shot, but he's a guy I've heard that they really like in terms of his long-term developmental profile. Actually has some of the traits that Pat Beverly, ironically, with Pat coming in, that they saw out of him in Russia a few years back when they brought him in. Of course, there's a long way to go, but they see a skill set there and a defensive intensity that they like. Also with Bobby Brown, certainly we know the defensive limitations, but Bobby Brown can fill it up in any given game, especially if you're undermanned like the Rockets are. And last night, struggling to at times generate offense, a lot of tired and heavy legs. Well, Bobby Brown can fill it up. I don't care who he's going up against. Now, I know there's some defensive limitations depending on the matchups. Maybe you can hide those a little bit against the likes of Austin Rivers, CJ Williams, etc. But at least from an offensive execution standpoint, Bobby Brown can shoot. He can do some things. So it's not like he is unplayable. I mean, we saw him in Charlotte earlier this year be a very viable rotation player. I think a lot of it just depends on the matchups. We'll see how they go tomorrow night. But the reason I think you actually are going to see at least one new body in that rotation, folks, you could get by with a Luke Bamute injury saying, look, Trevor Ariza and P.J. Tucker, these are two guys that essentially play the same positions, offer very similar skill sets in terms of either defense, or in the case of Ariza, both defense and length. You can just up those minutes a little bit, Trevor into the low 40s, P.J. into the mid-30s, and get by with it on a very short-term basis. If Clint Capella is out, you can say, hey, we think Nene, even if he hasn't quite played like it to this point in the season, we've seen him be a starting caliber player in spurts here and there, especially going back to last year. We're going to up him. We paid Charik Black because this was a guy who last year averaged, I think, you know, close to 7 a game. Certainly very good defensively, well liked in the locker room, and has prior chemistry at least with James Harden going back 3 years. It has not quite played out that way on the floor to that point this season. But you can look at it and say, hey, you know, we feel like Charik Black would be a backup center in a lot of teams. We know what Nene can do in certain stretches. So, yeah, we can roll with Nene and Tarek, at least on paper. There's no way you can just fill in Chris Paul by raising the minutes of James Harden and Eric Gordon. It's not going to work that way because Eric Gordon's already playing 30 minutes a game. James Harden's already playing about 38 minutes per game. Under that for the year at 36, but he's been at 38 when there are limitations. And even if you were to hypothetically play both those guys 45 minutes, that still would not fill the 34 minutes per game that Chris Paul has been averaging this month. You're going to have to find more reinforcements. The bodies aren't there. And I know some folks will say, well, when Chris Paul missed, 14 games earlier this year with the bruised knee, then, you know, the Rockets couldn't find a third guard, so they went with Paul and Gordon. Well, they didn't just go with Paul and Gordon. You had Luke Bamute's flexibility, and many times Luke Bamute was your third facilitator. You had to find a way to make those minutes work. I don't think the Rockets are necessarily looking at this as, say, point guard minutes, shooting guard. I think the way the Rockets are going to look at this, they have bigs, they have facilitators, and then they have wings. And as far as the bigs, we'll say those minutes are largely occupied from the standpoint of Nene, Tarik Black. Also, you have your small ball lineups from time to time with Ryan Anderson. If he can finally start shooting again, that'd be a big thing for the Rockets to get going. As we have last night, he has just 2 points in his last three games. Terrible time for that to happen. All the other depth issues. Ryan needs to get going again. Hashtag home Ryan. Then you also have PJ Tucker's versatility. We've seen the Tuck Wagon lineups with him at the center spot have success. It's hard to do now because, quite frankly, you're running out of options to play at the three and four spots, so PJ has to play there with Luke out and now with Chris out last night. If Tucker plays at the five, then that means somebody else is going to be playing at the three and the four spots. And, you know, there's Luke's injuries and then Ryan, because we know Ryan's not exactly a great defensive player. And then if he's not making his shots, then all of a sudden you feel like Ryan is capped at probably 20, 25 minutes tonight. And it makes it even harder to fill those minutes. But hopefully, you know, if Ryan isn't going again, then in theory you could use either him or Tucker, depending on the situation, as a third center, maybe a hedge if Tarik Black continues to struggle offensively. But the point is, between those four, you can fill the minutes at the five spot, and as far as your facilitator, that's going to be James Harden all 38 minutes that he's out there, and then James Harden, not James Harden, excuse me, Eric Gordon will be probably your lead creator in the 10 minutes per game that James is out. That's the way it worked in the first 14 games of the year. Well, the first 14 after the opener, the first 14 that the Rockets were without Chris Paul this season. So you can fill the 48 minutes at the five, and you can fill the 48 minutes at the point guard spot. But it's the 2, 3, and 4 where right now you've got Trevor Ariza, you've got Ryan Anderson, you've got Eric Gordon for the 20 to 25 minutes he's not at point guard, and you've got P.J. Tucker for whatever minutes he's not at center. That's it. Folks, you're not going to be able to play these guys 48 minutes a night, and even if you did, it's tough to make the math work. I think the Rockets, the only two guys that were truly overextended Wednesday night against the Lakers, Harden at 43 minutes and Ariza at 45, and I'm pretty confident that was a temporary measure based on two things. Based on one, unique circumstance being on a 14-game winning streak, nobody wanted to see that end. And secondly, they did not know that Chris Paul was going to get hurt going into the game. James Harden came back in when Paul asked out with about 11 minutes left in the fourth quarter, and that's the difference between Harden being at about 39, 38 minutes if he comes back at his usual spot with about 7 minutes left, and then having to bump it up an extra 4 to 5 minutes because he was filling those minutes from Chris Paul. It was impossible to adjust on the fly other than if you say, well, the Rockets should have just put in Bobby Brown or whoever else was eligible when Chris Paul asked out. And at that point, when it's a close game in the fourth quarter and a 14-game winning streak, people that are asking that, I don't think that's being reasonable. These guys are competitors. They want to win. And so I think it was impossible to formulate a game plan because the Chris Paul thing happened on the fly. Now, if the Rockets are, you know, able to adjust for that, know going in what their roster is going to be, then I don't think you're going to see Harden overextended. And Ariza, while he might can play 41 minutes in a pinch, he's certainly not going to play 45 on any sort of regular basis, in my opinion. So, and even if those guys did, then to fill the minutes, if you're not adding someone new to the rotation, you'd also be asking PJ, who, based on his style of play, he certainly picks up fouls in a hurry. In many cases, fouled out yesterday in 35 minutes. Then you factor in Ryan Anderson, who's been borderline unplayable lately because of his defensive limitations on top of the shooting woes. Folks, the point is, you're not going to be able to fill all those minutes at the 2 through 4 spots with whatever the leftover time from Eric Gordon is, plus Trevor Ariza, plus Ryan Anderson, plus P.J. Tucker. It's not going to work. The Rockets are not naive to this. I think there's going to be at least one guy, depends on what they think the matchup best calls for in terms of offense versus defense. Is it Brown? Is it one of those two young developmental guys in terms of Weber or Demetrius Jackson? And some of it could be based on what we're seeing in practice as well, because for all we hear, we're not in practice, and of course, we're especially not at the Rio Grande Valley practices. We don't get to see exactly what those young guys have done. So have they progressed from earlier this season? It's entirely possible. But I think at least one of those guys is going to get some run, and really, you could have more than one if one doesn't respond as the Rockets hope that they would. I think we saw that earlier this year. There was a very quick hook. You know, the Rockets first started with Demetrius Jackson in that role. Then they briefly signed and tried Isaiah Cannon. Then they tried Bobby Brown. When you don't have Mike D'Antoni's trust, he's not going to give you an unlimited leash. So it's entirely possible that you see, depending on the flow of the game, and if one of these guys gets in the rhythm or doesn't, you see multiple thrown in. But I think those are kind of the grouping that you're going to look at. This is really unfortunate that it comes with Troy Williams out with his right MCL sprain, because this is the time, this is exactly why you signed Troy Williams. He showed promise late last season. I think they'd love to have him. Unfortunately, his knee still isn't ready. I've seen some calls for Joe Chi, but folks, Joe Chi, in Mike D'Antoni's offense, what you're trying to do is bulk him up, and I think he'll generally be a five. Maybe you can sneak a few minutes at the four from him. He does have some athleticism, but even at the four spot, I don't think that they're necessarily struggling for minutes that much between Ryan, PJ, Trevor, where I think the Rockets want is more shooting. They want more creativity. That's what they're going to have to replace in the 34 minutes per game they are losing with Chris Paul, and it's not just going to come from they're not stupid. They're not going to play James Harden 48 minutes per night, and they also know there's a point of diminishing returns from Eric Gordon, and B, even with Chris Paul, Eric Gordon's been averaging over 30 minutes per game this homestand, so there's really not that many more minutes that he can take on, even if somehow he was Superman and could play 40-plus minutes per game. There's just a minutes crunch. There is going to be something new here. This is different. That's what I want to stress, because Clint Capela, again, you can theoretically say, hey, Tarik Black was supposed to be a pseudo-backup center. We can bump up his minutes, even if it hadn't necessarily played out that way. Other thing to keep in mind with Clint, he's only averaging 25 minutes per game on the season anyway, so there's just not that many raw minutes to fill, period. Luke Bamute, again, he's also a 25 minutes per game player, and his skill set, while that depth has helped, his skill set is at least somewhat duplicated with Ariza and Tucker. You can just bump up the minutes a little bit on a short-term basis, and perhaps not see a huge impact. Chris Paul, it's tough to replace his skill set from the creativity angle, and then beyond that, there's also the fact he's playing 34 minutes per night. So I know the rep that Mike D'Antoni gets, I partially think it's a little bit unfair. Certainly in his career, he's done that in terms of leaning on short rotations a little bit too much. In this case, I think, as I said last night, there's certain people in the Rockets community that just want something to blame. I have a hard time holding Mike accountable for too much of this, especially last night when the Chris Paul injury happened on the fly. When you're on a long winning streak and you can simply bump up the minutes a little bit for the veterans in the place of Luke Bamute and you keep winning, and you have, you know, Capella's out, but you have a guy like Tarik Black and Nene, two guys that you, on paper at least, expected to be very good backup centers, I'm not going to scream bloody murder for trust in those guys. I think just combination, A, they have not played up to their potential, what the Rockets would like to see them do in the middle. And then, as far as the Bamute, they have largely filled his spot pretty well. Has the depth slowly taken a toll? Yes, but the Rockets have been winning these games without Luke. Now, as the overall defense, the energy slipped a little bit, yes, I would like him back. But the point is, I don't look at the way the Rockets have handled this and say, wow, Mike D'Antoni clearly should have done something different, because the results have been pretty strong. We were just one game removed from that close to the Utah game when they looked just out of this world. So I don't see a huge problem with the way the Rockets have managed it this season. And if you look at James Harden, as I said last night, he's averaging the fewest minutes per game that he has in any of his 6 years in Houston. So I think some of this minutes talk is overdone. Now, last night was a little comical, but I think last night the minutes were especially exaggerated, combination of finding out on the fly about Chris Paul's injury and not being able to react, and then the 14-game win streak. Sorry, there are some unique circumstances when you're going for your 15th straight win. Yeah, it's going to be tough in a game that's competitive in the fourth quarter to tell guys like James Harden, oh no, we're going to hold you off while the Lakers kind of build that lead to play Bobby Brown or Demetrius Jackson or Bronte Weber, whoever it may be that you want to say they should have played. I just don't think that's reasonable. Now, if it continues, if somehow Mike D'Antoni goes out there tomorrow and essentially only plays six players, then yes, that's crazy. However, I don't expect that to happen. And so that's what I want to stress in today's show, is that the injuries, they're frustrating, but in this case, it's different. You might can survive without one guy to your rotation, have the eight man, because the Rockets at nine for most of this year, that's been a luxury. You can survive without one, which was Luke. And I think without Capella, being that it's a center spot, being only played 25 minutes per game, if you really want to stretch it, you can say, on paper, we've got Tarik. Ryan should be able to fill some minutes at the five when he's actually in that stretch five dynamic, which he hasn't been lately. But yeah, you add Chris Paul on top of the other two at the same time, this is going to be different. There's no way around it, in my opinion. You're going to see at least one new player to the rotation tomorrow night. I would not worry about a home game against the Clippers and the Rockets overextending their rotation. To me, that's much ado about nothing, what I'm seeing from a few folks over in the Twitter streets. One last thing I want to comment on before we close out today's show. There's a new story from Ian Begley of ESPN kind of recapping the fallout from Carmelo Anthony. And it's a mainly Knicks-driven story, because the Knicks have overachieved at least some folks' expectations this year without Carmelo. Carmelo, flip side, has certainly underachieved a little bit in Oklahoma City. One of the worst shooting percentage and efficiency ratings of his career. And at 34 years old, you wonder if some of it might not even just be the fit in Oklahoma City. Is Carmelo just over the hill as a basketball player? Those are fair concerns. However, we're not very far removed from when Carmelo wanted to go to the Rockets. There were a lot of rumors linking him to Houston. The Rockets obviously had some interest if they could get him for the low cost of Ryan Anderson. Also, side benefit, you'd be getting out from under Ryan Anderson's contract, giving you even more flexibility. And long story short, the interesting nugget about Carmelo in this Ian Begley story talked about his attempts to go to Houston, which obviously failed, but to team up with not just Chris Paul, but eventually LeBron, referring to next summer. And you better believe that NBA players, at least informally, talk about this stuff. And is it groundbreaking? No. We've talked about LeBron to the Rockets in 2018 on this show several times, including last week. But it's nice to have a more corroborating evidence, because if you look back to how Chris Paul got to Houston, it's pretty clear now that was in works for months. We didn't know it, but amongst NBA players, yeah, It's been told to me that Carmelo's camp began seeing Houston as an option in April, so that goes back even before the playoffs. The LA Times reported that Harden was recruiting Chris Paul going back into the regular season. We know from Chris Paul's documentary that in late May, the Rockets were already seen as a frontrunner, and that's 6 weeks before free agency. So yes, many of these narratives are established ahead of time. I don't think final decisions are made, but in terms of the process of courting, I think the first 5 days in July, are largely dog and pony shows. Now, certainly for a lot of players, it does come down to the numbers. Until you get to July, you're not going to see a final offer out there in many cases. But when you are truly at a max level, when you know you're getting that full max contract regardless, then no, I don't think there's any magic thing that happens in these recruiting meetings where somebody says something that blows you away. No, these guys know that the money's going to be there regardless. They're thinking about their decision weeks, months, sometimes even years in advance. That's the way it's played out in a lot of these major star free agencies, and it played out that way with Chris Paul, and it easily could LeBron as well. Another rumor I want to throw out there from Clutch fans, CyberX, reporting that, and Cyber's a guy who's had quite a few positive scoops over the years, reporting that DeAndre Jordan wants to come home. That's something we've also heard from Stephen A. Smith, that DeAndre, we all know he's a Houston native. He's got the tattoo on his arm. We all know how much grief he took in L.A. for cheering on the Astros in the World Series when they were defeating the Dodgers. DeAndre loves Houston, went to Texas A&M. He's still got the house here. That's where everything went down 2 summers ago when he reneged on the verbal agreement with Dallas. The Clippers jokingly barricaded him in his home, if you remember that awesome picture that Blake Griffin had of that chair blocking the door. And, of course, everybody remembers the report from Chris Broussard about Mark Cuban driving around aimlessly. And I think that probably wasn't even true because that's Chris Broussard, but that's neither here nor there. Point is, DeAndre has a lot of Houston ties, and Cyber's reporting that he wants to come home, that he will even take a discount. Now, I don't think that's Houston's ideal plan. I think Houston would love to keep Clint Capela. I think they'd love for Capela to continue developing the way he largely has this season. I think they'd love to see Clint stay healthy, go out and have a big playoff run, and earn a new contract. And, the goal for Houston, and it's still very feasible, is to win a championship this year. And if that's the case, bring back the band. It's not going to be about LeBron. It's not going to be about DeAndre Jordan. It's going to be about bringing back who you have. But if they don't, these options are out there. Certainly, LeBron is one. You better believe his friendship with Chris Paul, extremely close friendship. I documented that last week over at LockedOnRockets.com. They're godparents for the other's children. They've each been involved in the other's wedding. It's a very, very close relationship that goes well beyond basketball. And with both of them, 32 years old, in the prime of their career, still playing at elite levels, yeah, there's a lot of ties there, and the Rockets might be the only team that, with LeBron's addition, could actually beat the Warriors. That's how good the Warriors are. So there are a lot of reasons to think that it could work out for LeBron. And with DeAndre, I've made the case there before. I would not trade, even if the salaries were equal, I would not trade Clint for DeAndre this season, because I think Clint's definitely more efficient offensively. He's also younger, and, if he continues to improve his defense, I don't know if he'll ever be as dynamic a rebounder and defensive player as DeAndre is, but if he continues to improve it, and he largely has this year, if he can develop even more, then you could make a case that Clint's just a better basketball player. I think the Rockets would love to see that work out. However, if it doesn't play out that way, if they fall short in the playoffs, and then after that Clint wants a contract that's too large, that's the thing to keep in mind. Clint Capela has been judged on the curve a lot the last few years because he's on that rookie contract. Now, after this season, that goes away. He's going to be judged on the size of his contract, which is likely to be at least $15 to $20 million a year, and he's going to be judged on his contract just like so many others are. So now, with DeAndre, he could opt out, or actually, he could opt in. That might be the easier route, facilitate a trade the same way Chris Paul did. I believe he's got one last year in the contract somewhere in the low 20s in terms of millions of dollars. And, of course, you'd have Ryan Anderson as salary filler, potentially help that or any other sign and trade. Ryan Anderson should be a lot more movable next year, but he's only got 2 years left in the deal instead of three. But in terms of comparing DeAndre to Clint, we've done it plenty of times. And, Clint, as I said, more efficient offensively. He's younger. But DeAndre, he's the kind of rim protector that almost no one else in the league is, including Clint. And that's not a knock on Clint, because Clint is very good in a lot of areas and is better than DeAndre in others. But if the playoffs play out and the Rockets don't win it all, and if they think that more defense in the middle is the solution, or if for whatever reason they fall short and Clint gets a monetary offer that they're not fully comfortable with in terms of boxing themselves in, because certainly the Rockets are going to be looking at paying a large luxury tax bill, and you know, you could have, depending on certain sign and trade scenarios, even a hard cap scenario to worry about next summer. It's good to have options. That's what I take out of these reports. Anything groundbreaking? No, because the ball is in the Rockets' court. As CyberX said, it's if Clint leaves, if he wants more money elsewhere, if it doesn't work out. Hopefully it does work out, but it's nice to have the option of DeAndre Jordan if it doesn't, if the Rockets do fall short in the playoffs and Clint's play is a factor, or if the injuries continue, or if there's something crazy with the contract. It's good to have that option. Same way this report with Carmelo and LeBron running a team up in Houston. As I've said for a while, Carmelo was never the glue to this. The glue to this was Chris Paul because he's elite. Carmelo was and is the proverbial cherry on top of the sundae. He's not the meat to the meal. That's the problem I had with all these analogies. Of LeBron to the Rockets hinging on Carmelo Anthony. No, that's ridiculous because Carmelo is not that level of a player. He wasn't last year, and he's certainly not now when his level of play has only gotten even worse to this point in the year at Oklahoma City relative to what he did last year in New York. So if there's a case for LeBron James to come to Houston, and it is, both on and off the court, it starts with James Harden and then Chris Paul, the off-court connection, of course, because of their close relationship. It was never about Carmelo Anthony, and I think the story from Ian Begley, it confirms that, yes, that's been rumored, and you better believe there's some group texts that involve Chris Paul, Carmelo Anthony, LeBron James. But as far as those foundations are Chris and LeBron, because those are the elite-level players, and it's nice to hear that it's been discussed, because, folks, it gives the Rockets more options if, for whatever reason, this season does not work out as planned. If they don't win at all, then, yep, LeBron's an option. DeAndre Jordan's an option. There's a lot of paths that the Rockets can potentially go, and I like the fact that they've already been mentioned in the case of both, because if there's one thing you should take out of, you know, the Chris Paul to Houston and all the other major free agency decisions that we've seen from star-level players the last few years, it's that many of these moves are weeks, months, and sometimes even years in the making. It's not something that they just decide at a whim in early July, oh, I really like what this team told me in the 60-minute meeting. No, folks, when you're talking about NBA stars, these are the most precious commodities in all of sport. It's a lot deeper than that. And in the case of DeAndre Jordan, LeBron James, you better believe that even now in December, they still at least have some inkling of what they may do. And they've certainly had a lot of people, players, agents, people around the league, whoever it may be, already in their ear. So yes, in both cases, it's good to hear the Rockets mentioned as a viable contender at this point in time, because at least it tells you that the Rockets, if things don't work out the way they plan this year, then yep, they have some pretty damn good options next summer that they could take to potentially get over that hump in 2018, 2019, if they don't do it in 2017, 2018. Anyway, all that stuff's a long way away, and we're going to have months and months to talk about that. I just want to do it briefly today because, yes, it's an off day, and we did have an interesting story from Ian Begley of ESPN about the LeBron to the Rockets. Nothing groundbreaking, but it confirms what we've heard already. And then there's the nugget from my buddy CyberX over at Clutch Fans that I wanted to acknowledge as well about DeAndre Jordan. As far as near-term future, we're going to turn our focus back to basketball because the Rockets, yeah, we don't have to talk about next summer because the Rockets have an awesome team right now that's 25-5, and they're finishing off a 7-game homestand with the LA Clippers tomorrow night, a game that I think the Rockets should feel pretty good about potentially winning, even with all the injuries, because, yeah, you have James Harden and you have veterans like Trevor Ariza, PJ Tucker, Eric Gordon, and you're going up against a Clippers team without Blake Griffin, without Danilo Gallinari, without Pat Beverly. Then yeah, the Rockets should win that game. So if you want to hear about that, certainly we have our normal post-game show at some point this weekend before the Christmas game against Oklahoma City. But the easiest way to do it in the intermediate term is to talk with me and, well, anyone else on Rockets Twitter via Twitter. And for me, that's at Ben Dubose. For the show, it's at Locked On Rockets. Also, LockedOnRockets.com is the website. And don't forget, lockedonrockets@gmail.com. That's our email address. If you can't communicate with us on Twitter, you can also always email us if you're interested in any Rockets talk, questions, suggestions, or inquiries about how to become a potential sponsor, just as our friends at MyBookie were today. Remember, join now at mybookie.ag and use the promo code LOCKEDONNBA. And from there, MyBookie will match your deposit with up to a 50% bonus. That's MyBookie over at mybookie.ag. And folks, please support our sponsors if you haven't already, because they're a big part of how we were able to bring this show to you as frequently as we do, the only daily podcast covering your Houston Rockets. So for now, I will wrap things up. Hope all of you guys enjoy the remainder of your Thursday evening, and well, get some rest, and hopefully I'll see a lot of you guys at Toyota Center tomorrow night. It's the finale of a 7-game homestand. Been a lot of fun these past couple of weeks at Toyota Center, Wednesday night somewhat excluded, but even with the injuries, it's still a phenomenal team. It's a team that's certainly going to be favored tomorrow night and on the year, folks. They're freaking 25-5, and they've lost 2 games since October 30th. So embrace it. I know there's been, you know, some not ideal news the last couple of days, but big picture, boy, if someone had told you before the year they'd be 25-5 at this point, I think you'd have taken it in a heartbeat. You probably have told them they were crazy, that you were being way too much of a homer. So folks, enjoy it. Rockets Clippers tomorrow night. Look forward to seeing many of you guys out there then. Until then, have a good evening, folks, and we'll be talking again with you very soon right here on Locked On Rockets.